A reading from the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. And he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also, Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem, and may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. I know some of you are here for the first time in this walk through the book of Ruth. Today we are on chapter 4, but I will allude to some of the things that have gone before. It starts like this. When Ruth's father-in-law died and her husband had also died, this woman of Moab took a risk. Ruth renounced her native gods and she clung to the God of Israel. She sacrificed her own security. And she returned to Bethlehem with Naomi, her mother-in-law. They were leaving. They had left Bethlehem originally in a time of famine. When they returned, the Lord had provided a harvest. He gave them their daily bread. It was gleaned and given from the field of a relative named Boaz. Ruth had taken a risk, and now Naomi took a risk as well. She made a plan for herself and for her daughter-in-law. She sent Ruth to the threshing floor of Boaz at night. When Boaz woke up in the middle of the night and found a woman lying at his feet, Ruth was quick to speak up. She offered herself in marriage. "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." When we think about it to this point, Ruth and Naomi have both had to take risks. Both of them have stepped out, trusting God, and their trust has led them to act in faith. Like Moses in Psalm 90, I picture Naomi and Ruth as people who work hard, who take risks, and then who pray, "O Lord, establish the work of our hands." When I think about Naomi and Ruth, I think about the various ways in which we may react to situations in our lives. The two primary ways are by fear and by faith. When we react to things by fear, we find that it paralyzes us and it leads to death. But faith energizes and brings life. That's how it was for Ruth and Naomi. That's how it is for us. The saints, as we hear in Hebrews 11, live by faith. And that faith is living and active in the world, and it is living and active for the neighbor. Ruth and Naomi are examples to us. So now it's Boaz's turn. He's the main actor here in chapter 4. Boaz had already committed himself to Ruth in marriage, though it was a secret to everyone else. And he also had committed to provide for Naomi. But still, there's work to be done. As we heard in chapter 3, there is a relative who is closer in relationship to Naomi than Boaz is. A redeemer who is closer. But Naomi had said of Boaz, "This man will not rest, but he will settle the matter today." When I think about Boaz and the need to take action for Ruth and Naomi's sake, I think about how he didn't hesitate, how he didn't make excuses, how he didn't put it off. Too often, I'm guilty of those things. Too often, I'm slow to decide and even slower to act. But not Boaz. Not with this matter. The very next morning, he acts right away. He knows what needs to be done. He believes that God is faithful. He believes that the steadfast love of the Lord will never come to an end. So for Boaz, the question is, why would he wait? What more does he need? So also for us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we also believe that God is faithful, and we also trust that his steadfast love never comes to an end. So if there is something that needs doing, why wait? What more do we need? Boaz rises early. He goes to the gate. He calls out to the closer relative. He asks witnesses to sit and hear the exchange. Now, the details of what go on here are less important than the big picture, but I'll try to explain briefly, noting that there are different interpretations about exactly what is happening here. What we hear is a matter of ancient Israelite family law and property rights. When Elimelech, Naomi's husband, had taken his family to Moab 11 years earlier, he sold his land. That is, he sold the rights to the upcoming harvests until the 50th year, the Jubilee, when the land returns to the family. Now Naomi, coming back without her husband, is asking the closest relative to do his duty as the Redeemer and to buy back those harvests. And in doing so, he would also be committing himself to care for Naomi for the rest of her life. When Boaz meets the Redeemer that morning at the gate, he's challenging this nearer relative to do exactly that, to buy back the harvests and to care for Naomi. And he rebukes him for being slow. When the other guy hears about all of this, he decides that it's a good deal. He thinks of it probably in this fashion. He can buy back the harvests, the harvest rights. He can take care of Naomi the widow, but not Ruth. And then, because there's no heir in that family, the land will eventually become part of his permanent inheritance. I will redeem it, the man says. You see what he's doing here? This nearer redeemer is not acting out of faith and love, but he is acting rather out of calculated self-interest. A self-interest that cuts Ruth entirely out of the picture, would let her simply fall by the wayside with no one to care for her. And that's when Boaz pulls out his trump card, pulls out the thing that's been waiting in the background, the secret that you and I know, but the Redeemer didn't. Whatever the Redeemer does, Boaz will marry Ruth. He's not obligated to do that. No one is obligated to care for Ruth, but he's willing to do it. Boaz is willing to go and above and beyond what the law requires. He's willing to take Ruth, this foreign woman, as his wife, as well as to provide for Naomi. And he's willing, if God so blesses them, to father an heir for Elimelech's family, so that the family name continues and the family keeps its inheritance in the promised land. I should be clear. The story of Ruth is not a romance. It's not that kind of love story. It is, however, a story of faithfulness and of steadfast sacrificial love. It's not a Disney story, but it's a story of loyalty, a story of faith, of a faith that acts in love. What Boaz does means a sacrifice on his part, because it means that any children Boaz already has will get less. They'll have to share their father's inheritance with any children born of Ruth. Boaz here is God's solution. He is God's answer to the need of these two widows with no one to care for them. Boaz is God's solution to a family line that is about to be cut off. Boaz is God's solution to an inheritance in the land that will disappear forever without him. You can hear the amazement and the joy and delight of all the people who witness this exchange, what Boaz does. They say, "We are witnesses." And then they wish three blessings on him and his wife. "May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who built up the house of Israel," the 12 tribes. "May you, Boaz, act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned, remembered in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz marries Ruth. She conceives, and a son is born in Bethlehem. And now Naomi has a redeemer. Now Naomi's life is restored. Now Naomi is nourished in her old age, and now the line of Elimelech and Mahlon receives an heir. What started in Ruth chapter 1 with death ends with life, a mini resurrection. They named the child Obed. It means one who serves. And the family story continues. Obed was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And that's how the book of Ruth ends, with the name of David. But I should make clear that the story of Ruth may end there, but God's story moves forward. God had promised a redeemer to Adam and Eve, the promise of a seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, a redeemer who would set right the wrong that has been done through selfishness, a redeemer who would restore Adam and Eve and their children to the land they had lost through sin. Naomi and Ruth and Boaz are all wrapped up in this bigger story of God's redemption. Yes, Naomi has an heir, a descendant, and that's good. Yes, the family keeps its inheritance in the promised land, and that's good. Yes, Ruth becomes a mother in Israel through faith, and that's good. Yes, the nation receives a shepherd, David, to lead them, and that's good. But look beyond and you see something even better. The world will have a Savior, Jesus. For Jesus is the son of David and David's heir, descended from Boaz through Ruth. He is the child for whom the world has been waiting. He is the solution to our problems. He is the world's redeemer. We confess in the creeds this very thing. Whenever we call Jesus Christ our Lord, that little word Lord means that he is the one who has brought us from Satan to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and who preserves us to the end. And you know what it cost our Redeemer. You know what he spent and what he risked. You know the blood he shed for you. Through him you have God's favor. Through him and because of him, you will never be cut off. You will never be alienated from the promises. You have an inheritance that no one can take away. As the story of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz draws to an end, God's story continues, and our stories continue too. We don't know exactly how they will go. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what losses and trials may lie ahead. We don't know what risks and sacrifices we may be called to make. But we do know this. We know that the God who was with Naomi and Ruth and Boaz will give us opportunities to put our faith into action. We know that family and friends and neighbors will need our love and our service. We know that God has a plan and will see it through to the end. And we know that he not only can, but he will work through us. Through us, sinners redeemed by the blood of Christ, he will work through us for the good of others. So be a Naomi, or a Ruth, or a Boaz. Be bold. Believe in the God of Israel. Live. Love sacrificially. For in the end, it will all turn out far better than we could possibly imagine. It will turn out better because Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth, and Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David, through whom was born in Bethlehem our dear Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my generation. servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy.